Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to God. We're continuing our series on our preeminent or supreme identity. Our supreme identity, our preeminent identity. And again, we've talked about probably ad nauseum who we are, and then we're beginning to talk about who we are. So we're not our color, we're not our ethnicity, we're not our culture. We're not our age, we aren't our looks, we aren't our social and economic status. We are not our education or lack thereof. Amen. Now, first and foremost.
Amen.
First and foremost, we are children of God. And so we're starting to go through those of who we are and what the Word of God calls us and refers to us. And there's several names, and we're getting just to some of them. First, maybe and foremost, we are slaves of the Most High God, and we talked about that. New Testament, Old Testament, chose to translate the word slave as servant, but we know it is slave, and so we proudly, if you will, wear that moniker, understanding who the master is.
Amen.
A master who shed his blood for the slaves. I think that is an incredible statement. That's an incredible fact, that the master shed his blood for the slaves. And eventually the master is going to have us to sit down at the master's table. The master is going to have us sit at the master's table, and he's going to serve us. My Lord and my God. These things meditate on. Amen. Selah. Pause and calmly think about that. Whenever you start having an identity crisis, you know, an identity crisis, right? You think, you know, the world is dumping on you. You have one of those days that the bosses done went crazy just talking about you. Nobody respecting you. Think about who does respect and honor you as his child. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father, and the indwelling person of the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Am I in the right place?
Amen.
Hey, man, y'all sound like y'all know a little something about who this God is. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So we are first and foremost slaves of the Most High God. Secondly, we talked about being a Christian, an adherent of Jesus Christ, a follower of Jesus Christ. We belong to the party of Christ. We side with Jesus, meaning we think like him. We believe in what he believes in. We act like him, and we speak like him. And remember, we had to go back over that word because that term Christian has been dragged so much through the mud that the term has lost its significance for a lot of people, or we're starting to back away from that term and not identify ourselves as Christians. But I want you to know we ought to be loud and proud.
Yes.
Amen. Loud and proud Christian. Yes. I'm a follower of Christ. I'm an imitator of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you. Amen. Why? Because our behavior, our activity, our speech is to be just like Jesus Christ. We talked about that the Gentiles first used this term as a term of derision, scorn, and mockery. But later on in the second century, the Christians owned the phrase and began to use it as a badge of honor, to which that has gone forth even on today.
Amen.
And especially in today's climate, to really speak of yourself as a Christian really would be a powerful badge of honor, knowing that you're going to be scorned and mocked and called a bigot and things of that nature in Jesus' name. So remember that a Christian is a follower of Christ. I think we've gone over these verses. 1 Corinthians 11:1. We go over that yet? 1 Corinthians 11:1. Yeah. Be ye followers of Christ. Be followers of me, rather, even as I also am of Christ. And we talked about that. Yes. Because the pastor who is making that statement has to be very confident in his lifestyle to tell the congregation, follow me as I follow Christ. The thing about a well-informed congregation, you'll be confident in following me because you know from the Word of God how Christ acted, how he thought, how he lived, And if mine not matching up, like, well, you know, not following that dude. No. Because Jesus went out 94. This dude is on Insta Road. There's two different avenues. 94 run east and west. Insta Road run north and south. 94 is a freeway. Insta Road is a side street. I mean, you way off. It's no, and you'll recognize it, right? You know when you're on 94 and Insta Road. It's crystal clear.
Amen.
If I'm going to be on 94 because that's where Jesus walked and not on Insta Road, you are to know that.
Amen.
And when Apostle Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ, the implication in there was you know how Christ walked.
Yeah.
And therefore, you know how to follow me.
Amen.
That's powerful. As we follow Christ.
Amen.
Ephesians 5:1, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, obedient, well-behaved children who desire to follow the parent. That's a dear child.
Amen.
Ain't no joke being a pastor. The responsibility that God has put upon us to live this thing. Pastors think if I just preach the word, I'm good. No. There's a living of this thing. I'm going to say this. First and foremost,
yes,
before you preach. Because Amen. You know what you'll say to me? Man, I can't hear what you're saying, but what you're doing.
Amen.
Actions scream, words whisper. And if you look at those verses, be followers of me. What's implied in there? Followers of what? His lifestyle, his living, his way of living, his comportment, his behavior.
Mm-hmm.
He's not talking about teaching in there. His lifestyle. And that's what you're going to see first. I'll go back to Fuller's testimony. I go to, J.R.'s testimony. I go to Chris's testimony. They saw my lifestyle. They didn't know much about God. But they saw the lifestyle. And through that, you're the light of the world. City set on a hill that what? Cannot be. If it can't be hid, then that means everybody's seeing it.
Amen.
That's what it's designed to do. To me, that's the breakdown in the pulpit. It's a double breakdown. It's a double breakdown. One, it's a breakdown, pastor's not living it right. And then the second breakdown is obvious. The hermeneutic is wrong, or the science of interpreting the scriptures is out of whack, and so the teaching is wrong.
Thank you, Jesus.
It's a double breakdown. And I tell you what, the people of God don't have a chance in a sense. But what God does is the Christians who are really serious and they're in the double breakdown church, he's still to get it to them as best he can.
Yes, you do.
Think about Chris again, you know, where the deacon or whoever it was telling him the wrong thing. But God got him to his truth. He got him to his truth. Sister Cheryl in Buddhism for 20 years. God got her to truth. Don't worry about how God and who God and who God going to talk to. You just live right.
Yeah.
Then let God guide and direct you. Just live right. Then you can say, be followers of me as I follow Christ. Or be followers of God as dear children. We are followers of Christ. We are followers of God. That's what a Christian is. It's nothing to be ashamed of. I don't care how negative and how violent and how vitriolic the hatred toward Christians, and it's going to increase. You stand firm and say, I am a follower of Christ. I'm a slave of the Most High God. Period.
Amen.
And then let those chips fall where they may after that. Do what you will. The civil rights leader in South Africa, Steve Biko, told Captain DeVette after he was arrested by the South African police, said, you can beat me or jail me or even kill me, but I will not be what you want me to be. Christian, and that's what I am. That's who I am. You can beat me or jail me or even kill me. You're not going to change that from me. That's a mindset.
Amen.
What the devil has tried to do, especially to the black man, is to take that Christian, that term, and turn it into something very negative or all white related to get you off your square, to knock you out from the things of God. But I'm here to tell you, as a black Christian, as a black pastor telling you, don't believe those lies. Embrace the term Christian. But understand when you embrace it what it means, a follower of Christ. Meaning again that you say, how do we have it in our that your behavior, your activity, and your speech is just like Jesus.
Amen.
That's not always the case, but that's our aim. That's the direction that we've pointed our lives. So that our behavior, our speech, and our activity is just like Jesus. And if your behavior, speech, and activity is just like Jesus, that means your mind is working like his too.
Amen.
For we have, as a present possession, the mind of Christ. That's why we harp on your lifestyle first and foremost. Many years ago, here in Word of Life, we taught on a series called Evangelism, lifestyle, whatever you're living, whatever it was, you're living your lifestyle, something like that, evangelism's greatest tool. The greatest way to evangelize is through your living.
Amen.
Then God can send somebody to you. I said, then God can send somebody to you. Or then God can send you to somebody. But let God do the sending, of course. But they can send you to, and the thing about it is, all those who have jobs where people are seeing you every single day, you're on Front Street every single day. Whether you act like it or not or realize it, you're on Front Street every single day.
Yes.
That's one of the blessings, you may think it's a curse, of the workplace. You are in front of folks every single day. How many, at 30 years? How long at your spot? 38 years. First of all, that's a blessing. A lot of folks have lost jobs 20 times over in that span of time.
Some people have 40 jobs.
Yeah, yeah. Amen, amen. So realize that. That's a blessing. So you've been in front of various folks for 38 years. It ain't been easy all the time. It's this, that, and the other. But the thing about it is you are a representation of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've been planted in that. I don't go to Dietrich first. I've never been there. But you're there. God's man or woman is there. That's why we need to take our station, like we need to take our jobs as assignments. That the general in this army has planted his soldier, that's not the word I want, his diplomat, his representative, he's planted them strategically in the body shop. Or over in Dietrich Furs, over in U of M, or over in what Jeff is into, over on Spring Hill. I don't live on Spring Hill, I visit sometimes. My papa lives, how long have you been living? 71 or 2?
It says 71.
71. Been right there. Neighbors come, neighbors go, children come, children go, children come on the street. There's papa still there. Strategically planted. I've been through Irene several times, but Ms. Palmer's been living on Irene. Chris has been over in Bellevue. Nicole over in Wayne, in those apartments. Strategically placed to bring light to that area of darkness. Your life is not your own. The devil wants you to think your existence is just nothing. It's no big deal. You're not famous. You're not rich. You don't have this. You don't have that. Are you serious? Really? You look at this. I don't have this. I've been living in a rented house. Oh, it don't make a difference. God has saved you.
Yes, Lord.
He shed his blood for you.
Amen.
And you're worried about whether or not you don't. How you're looking? One of Brianna's friends, 26 years old. I ain't got this, I ain't got that. I'm just getting older. 26? Really? Wow. Who's teaching you? It's not about you. Your life is not your own, but churches don't major on that. They don't major on your life is not your own. That's not my theory or my saying. That's the word of God. 1 Corinthians 6. You don't belong to you. The song says, come in to find it. The song says, I was made by you. I was made for you. For you. Who's the you? God. I was made by God and I was made for God. Hello, as Riley Nicole would say. Where did you get the notion? I already got the answer, and I'm going to let you know where. You know where. Did you get the notion that your life is yours? From secular humanistic worldview. When you come to Christ Jesus, you don't belong to you any longer. That's why the master can tell you to do anything he wants. That's a true Christian. Yes. Your whole pledge is to him. Your whole life, your whole everything. All you own, all you have, every thought, every word, every deed, all belongs to you. I pledge allegiance to you, Jesus Christ. I pledge allegiance to you, Father God. So when they say the Pledge of Allegiance, I don't say the Pledge of Allegiance. Because I don't pledge allegiance to the United States. Amen. I pledge allegiance to God. United States didn't die for me. United States didn't shed his blood for me.
Amen.
God did.
Amen.
So my allegiance is to him and him alone. Amen. Just like when you do good and bless, you are blessing God and God alone. When you do evil and sin, you're sinning in thee and thee only. It's all about him.
Amen.
And this will not preach in other churches, unfortunately. Because we're so secular, humanisticized. That's not a word, but today it is. Can't even get it out again. We've been secularized by that worldview. They don't want to hear that he ain't got nothing to do with you. You know, Jesus technically, he died for God, but he died for God first and foremost, and we just got the residuals of it.
Yes. Amen.
It was God who so loved the world that he turned, symbolically speaking, to Jesus and said, will you die for these guys? I know they're not worth 2 dead flies, but I love them. Because I just choose to. They are evil, wicked people. They are our enemies. They have no care, nothing about us. They would curse us to our face if I didn't come into their lives. They'll praise rocks and trees and birds and bees over me. They'll make themselves a god, whatever religion you want to get into, and it'll have nothing to do with us. But I'll go down, and I'm going to say, because Jesus, what I want to do, I want to make a big, juicy present for you, and I want to get a remnant of people, and I want to give them to you as a present. And Jesus said, well, God, I love you, so I'm going to go down and die for him. It was between them two, the Father and the Son. We just the byproduct.
Amen.
That would not preach nowhere.
Thank you.
Because that's real talk. We just a residual. We just the byproduct. It was a love story between God and Jesus.
Amen.
God so loved the world because he wanted to give Jesus a present. Jesus so loved God because he wants to serve his Father. And we get to be in all that blessing. That's amazing. You'll miss all of that because you ain't got a house. You living in a rented house. But even the one you buy, you're going to still be paying to just rent another way.
In fact, renting is cheaper because you now you're paying interest on all that. The house costs $40,000, you're gonna pay $84,000 by the time 30 years get out the way.
And then it's all gonna go up in smoke.
Amen.
That's why I just say trinkets.
Mm-hmm. Sure, it's trinkets.
When it's in proper perspective, it's trinkets.
Yeah.
You want status so that another sinner or just some other human being can say, ooh, look what you got. Okay, there go your reward. Just another human being said, ooh, wow, nice car, nice house. Whoop-de-doo, saith the Lord. Whoop-de-doo. Because a follower of Christ understands that my allegiance is to Christ Jesus. I pledge it all to him and to him alone. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
All right. So we are slaves of the Most High God. We are followers of Christ. How about we're born of God? Look at 1 John chapter 3. 1 John 3 verse 9. 1 John 3 verse 9. 1 John chapter 3 verse 9. Glory be to God in the highest. I'm about to just go out here and start running. You know, somebody got to come and finish the sermon, Michelle. Or we just that, or that's enough, you know. I believe that's all, folks. 1 John chapter 3 verse 9. Another title or label for us is that we're born of God. What a title. And if we're born of God, what's another title right behind that? Child of God. Jesse didn't know what he was saying, but he didn't know. But he said, I am. He had the crowd repeat after him, God's child. Well, some were, but not everybody's God's child. Everybody is God's creation. Remember I told you that. He's creator of all, but he's not father of all. Because everybody's not born of God. First, look at 1 John 3, 9. No one who is born of God practices sin because the seed, which is the word of God, abides in him. And he cannot sin because he is born of God. You're born of God. Don't take that lightly. It's the second birth. The first birth is a natural birth. That's what Jesus in John 3 is talking about to Nicodemus, trying to teach him about the second birth. The first time we were born, we came through the birth canal from the womb of a woman. Seed of a man, womb and a woman, fertilized, boom, baby. That's the natural, physical, physiological, biological birth. But then that, but because the first natural, physical birth, we were born a sinner, spiritually speaking. Remember, spiritually speaking, every human being ever born of a man or woman is born, spiritually speaking, stillborn. They're born spiritually dead. And then what God does in his infinite mercy, and his amazing grace, y'all say thing about three times before you can start to hear it, because you hear like, I heard that before. His amazing grace and his infinite mercy, he chose, thank you, Jesus, to give life to a dead spirit.
Amen.
Amen. And until he gives life, ain't nothing shaking. Excuse my ghetto, but ain't nothing shaking.
Amen.
He chose to give life. I am forever grateful. He chose to give me life.
Amen.
Yeah, Jeff. Hands up raised. He chose to give us life.
Amen.
Wow. People who lock into their lives and what they don't have and what they're trying to get, they're and they are a Christian, they're missing out on the understanding of what salvation really is.
Amen.
Oh, as the song says, what he's done for me is so amazing. The love he has for me, I cannot explain. I once was lost. I think about my young life. I was so lost. I was just confused. I tried to negotiate things and answer things in my own strength or with the strength of the world. But I was lost. But now I'm found. I was blind. But now I see. So amazing. Father God, help us to just treasure, value, cherish what you've already done for us.
Amen. Amen.
In Jesus' name. We're born of God. We're children of the Most High God. God is my Father. I don't remember who it was, but I remember some famous person was talking to a Christian. I'm going to elevate on what it was. And Christian was sitting there chilling, I guess, you know, and the guy was like, "Don't you know who I am?" Christian said, "Do you know who I am?" Hey! Watch yourself. Where's the palm? I'm going to talk. You got the interpretation coming? "Do you know who I am? I'm a child of the living King."
Amen.
"My daddy made you, boy. I don't know who you is. I don't care who you is. You got to go all that. I know. But I'm saying, you know who I am." That's why I'm remembering, even though you've been somewhere 38 years and so forth, you got to remember who you are on the other side. You can say it with your chest puffed out, "Thank you, Lord Jesus." But on the other hand, hey, that's responsibility. Like, hey, tamp that down.
Yeah.
Slow your roll. Big daddy. Because of who I am, there's a responsibility that I carry.
Right.
Heavy lies the head that wears a crown.
Mm-hmm.
I got to act a certain way. You ask Chris, I become almost a mute when I go around out of sight of word of life. I don't, April, I don't have to say nothing to nobody. I just off in the corner. Chris said, "Man, it's like you become a different person. It's almost depressing how you just sit down." You know why? I ain't trying to talk to crazy folk. I'm not trying to get no conversation. I'm hoping they go away from me.
Amen.
Because sinners talk crazy. I don't want to hear crazy talk. You get around a bunch of men, it's nasty talk, always degrading women, it's objectifying women. Men are just stupid. Just boyish, immature adolescents, just grown. I try to go off in a corner. If I go in a closet and sit there, I would sit there in a rocking chair and be there the whole day.
Amen. And
Chris gave Green, come out now. Just clean this air and then go back in the closet. I would gladly do it. I'll try to find somewhere to go be by myself. And in Christ Jesus, you don't want to be around that talk. Now, some of you got to be around it because of the workplace you're in. And you can't. When I work with Chris sometimes, we cleaning these buildings, like we were cleaning the federal building. You know, I'm able to be off by myself.
Yeah.
If I can be off by myself, I'm going to be off by myself.
Yes.
When I was unsaved or didn't half say, whatever you want to call it, when I was growing up, I was around a lot of crazy talk. I'm done with that forever.
Amen.
That's why I'm telling you, watch who you hate. That's why I don't understand why you can be around friends who are not saved. I don't understand that. I don't know how you can do that. I don't understand that. Your spirit ought to be so disturbed once a time. Because you know, most of the, if you're going around, like for example, a group of co-workers going somewhere, I don't usually go nowhere. One place I don't mind because it's pretty decent kind of a family atmosphere is when Starkweather staff at the end of the year go to a place where Roland has picked out and we go the end of the year and eat. That's really calm, but I'm sitting right by Roland. You think you'd have thought she was my mama. I'm all up under her. I don't want to be by her. Where you sitting? And when she leaves, where's she going? I don't want nobody to start talking to me. Not unless God does. You follow what I'm saying?
Amen.
Amen.
If God don't have me be around crazy, I'm not trying to be around. I'm not going to volunteer to be around crazy. No way. God has me, fine. You know, when you go into funerals and you got going to that home where the boy just got killed, and you're walking to that home, that's all, you know. I was telling a fella, you know, husband killed himself, and they found him naked in the park over by Brookside Park over in Inkster, and I had to walk into that home after that. That's a hard thing to do, but that's a different situation. My job, when I gotta do that, I'm gonna do it. But when he ain't calling me to do it, I'm not trying to be around crazy.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So I want to make that caveat. I'm gonna do my job. I'm gonna do fulfill the assignments. But just standing around, chit-chat, that's dangerous. You're gonna hear something crazy. Why? We're followers of Christ. When people try to say, well, Jesus Christ, you know, he hung and ate with sinners and all that. He still was on an evangelistic mission. He just wasn't hanging with sinners just to be hanging. Are you serious? That means if you think that about Jesus, then you don't know your big brother then. You don't know the Lord of glory. When he steadily says out of his mouth, let no filthy communication come out of your mouth. And every idle word you got to give an account for. He's not hanging around just idleness.
No.
He was on a mission. When your nephews and things got to be around you, that's an assignment that is just, it's ongoing. Sometimes it's a never ending assignment. It's a tiring assignment. When you're around folks that just ain't acting right. How old is your nephew? 39. Wow. Some of the assignments God gives us are difficult assignments.
Yes. Yes.
We got in-laws, outlaws, middle laws, yes. Lawbreakers. That God wants us to be around. When God has an assignment, so let me make this perfectly clear. When God has given you an assignment, you got to be around crazy. Now, some of you all know that when there's a family reunion or a family situation, you're finna be around crazy. You gotta go. Every head went like this. Yeah. Amen. Amen, Miss Cheryl. You gotta be around crazy. You got sisters that are crazy, brothers are crazy, nephews, nieces, uncles, aunties, everybody crazy. You're in the midst of crazy. But even in the midst of crazy, just keep your prayers going. And you can still find a corner in crazy in the middle of a family. You know, you can find your little corner. You got to join in the crazy talk. So be led by God.
Always.
When you can't but be around crazy people, realize, let your light so shine. You are born of God. God is my Father. Let me act accordingly. So Father God, my Father, Father God, my Father, how do you want this child of yours to act in this situation? Is anyone you want me to go to? If not, I'm going to become mute. And I tell you what, the vocabulary of silence is a beautiful thing.
Yes, yes,
I become mute until the Lord says to speak. And one of the worst things you can do is start running off at the mouth. Diarrhea of the mouth is a dangerous thing. Proverbs speaks all about that. Realize that all times you're representing God as your Father because you are born of God. As I said, being born of God, then you're a son of God. Look at Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. So the natural progression is if you're born of God, then you are a child of God or a son of God. Son or daughter, child. Matthew 5 verse 9. Matthew 5, the ninth verse. You know this. This is commonly called the Beatitudes, or the three chapters 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew, is collectively known as the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus introduces the kingdom of heaven and the rules, quote unquote, thereof, and what it's like and the character of the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. Verse 9 says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God, children of God, daughters of God, sons, daughters, children of God. Why? Because 1 John 3:9 just say you're born of God. And therefore, you are sons of God. So guess what a son or daughter of God ought to be? A peacemaker. having said that, it says, as much as lieth within you, be peaceable with all men. It doesn't necessarily going to always be at peace. We're born of God, so we're slaves of the Most High God. We are Christian, being followers of Christ, imitators of Christ. And we are born of God, and we're sons and daughters of God. You can choose any one of those. Go down to verse 44 of the same chapter. Verse 44 of the same chapter. How does a son or daughter or child of God act? Verse 44, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Matthew 5:44. You got it, mother? Mother got it. But I say to you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Look at this. So that you may be. That means so that you may proven to be. So that you may, by example of living, prove to be a son of your Father. Who is in heaven. For he causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, sends a rain on the just and the unjust. So I tell Christians when we taught on the Trump challenge, if Trump then is your enemy, then what does the Bible say about the enemy? Talk about him,
yeah.
Get in around the coffee table, the coffee room, and water pitcher cooler and all that at work, and just dog him on out. That's not what the Word of God says about enemies.
Yeah.
Well, he's my enemy. When he said you love him. Yeah. Man, I can't get away from him, can you? Not if you're a Christian. He said love your enemies. And in so doing, you'll prove to the world that you're a child of God. Because it gives instruction for what you're to do to your enemy. Love them, pray for them, do good to them, bless them. And you have to get a bucket or stand over a toilet while you are praying for Donald Trump. Just pray, throw up, and keep praying. But you obey God more than you. And that's a command. That's a demand from God. You don't bring God any glory when you join in on the hate the Trump brigade. Think about that. You don't bring God glory. So stand over the toilet. But you start praying. I pray for President Donald J. Trump. Trump, I pray that you bless him. That you do good for his life. You may start swallowing, your mouth fill up with, you know. But you do it. Am I right, Miss Cheryl? Am I preaching good? That's the truth, right? That's the Word of God, right?
Yes. Yes.
But I say to you, love ye your enemies.
Amen. Amen.
Do good to them who hate you. Pray for them who despitefully use you and persecute you. For so persecuted they, the prophets were before you. What is Jesus saying to us? You ain't the first ones that have been hated and despised. And, well, the people of God have been like that throughout all history. Look at Luke chapter 6. Luke 6, verse 35. Luke 6, 35. Luke, the 6th chapter, 35th verse. Judy needs some water. Okay. Luke chapter 6, verse 35. But love your enemies and do good. Uh-oh. And lend. Why, give them some money. Expecting nothing in return. What? I'm supposed to give you my money and don't expect it back? Oh man, you mean I'm supposed to pay, give Trump some money and don't expect nothing back? Yep.
Don't even get an hour.
Just go get the toilet. That's all. But obey God. Even at your own health. Obey God. Lynn. expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For he himself is kind to the ungrateful and evil men. He's kind to you. He's kind to me. He's kind to us. We're how ungrateful are we? How many evil deeds have we done?
Amen. Amen.
How are we going to single out Trump and not look at ourselves? Sons of the Most High. I love the phrasing of the Most High. We're children of the Most High. We're slaves of the Most High. We're born of the Most High. We're created of the Most High for the good and glory of the Most High.
Yes.
Most High. None higher or equal to.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we are slaves of the Most High. We are followers of Christ. We're imitators of Christ. We pledge allegiance to Christ Jesus. We're born of God. We're sons of God. And we're also children of God. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. And look at the relationship terms. Sons of, born of God. Children of God. Sons of God. We're children of God. Philippians 2, 14. Got it? Do all things without grumbling or disputing. There's something we sin about quite a bit. We can't even get past that one. It said do all things. We think it said do some things. Because we will grumble, we'll dispute. Don't let policies at work change. It's been one way for 10 years. And then the 11th year change you. Oh, we grumbling. Why did I do it this way? I can't believe it. What's wrong with these people? Are we then acting like sons and daughters of the Most High? Would somebody walk in the middle of you all grumbling and complaining and say, ooh, that's a child of God? No. You joining in with the rest of the chorus of grumblers and complainers. We act like it says, do half the things without grumbling. He said, do all things without grumbling or disputing. And it tells you why again. So that you will prove yourself to be blameless and innocent children of God above reproach in the middle of a crooked and perverted generation among whom you appear as lights in the world. Whoa, Nelly, holding fast the word of life. That's a powerful verse. You know we're going to read it again. Just let it marinate for a moment. Oh, man. You mean it's a sin? Even the mermaid complained? Hey, man, I ain't write this stuff, dude. Glory to God said it. Either you're going to believe the Bible or you're not. And don't be a picker and a chooser. Well, I think robbery and murder is wrong, but hey, grumbling? Man, come on. There ain't nothing wrong with that, is it? Yeah. Because the Most High God, your father, my father, our father, said it was. And he commanded it. He said, do all things. Meaning it's a command. It's in the imperative. And imperative does what? Give a command. Do all things.
That's all.
Without grumbling, complaining. That's everything. Amen. Father God, we repent of this sin.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. That's what we need. Amen. Amen. I'm about to raise your hand. You already had them up. I love it. I love the honesty, Papa.
Yes,
my eyes, hands is up. Okay. Because you know we do. Amen, fella.
Amen.
You know we do. He said, do all things without grumbling or disputing so that you will prove yourself to be. And by the way, when you